Hello everyone, my name is Timofey Yegorov. I am the trainer of cosmonauts at the Gagarin Cosmonauts Training Center in Russia. Also, I am the general director of the Association Ecology of the Unknown, which is the most recognized organization in Russia dealing with the study of the UFO and all the anomalous phenomena. You know, all the astronauts and the cosmonauts, they are great people. Really, they are heroes to go to space, to risk their lives. So they are trained very well. And you can imagine going to space on a booster, actually on a bomb, which can explode if something goes wrong. And they have a great opportunity to see our planet from the side. And I guess it's a feeling that you will never forget.
What exactly is the Association Ecology of the Unknown? How long has this group been engaged in research about UFOs or unidentified aerial phenomena?
It was established informally in 1976, and officially it was registered as a non-governmental, non-profit organization in 2019. But it has been there since 1976, as I have already said. And it started with one man whose name was Felix Ziegel. He was a professor of the Moscow Aviation Institute. He was the first man in Russia to study the UFOs and to treat this phenomenon seriously, and he wrote many books. One of them I have here on my table, it's The Phenomenon of UFO, it says in Russian, Felix Ziegel. So, and since then, there was a group of people, his friends, his colleagues, who were looking into this phenomenon. But he was ridiculed many times. He had some problems at his job because he was dealing with the study of this phenomenon. But nevertheless, this organization grew, and since 1990, we gather a conference, which is called, after his name, it's Ziegel Readings. It is held twice a year. It's an international public scientific conference where people from all cities of Russia and from other countries as well come together and speak about different anomalous phenomena. They study as well as UFOs and many, many other things. So, since 1990, it was held twice a year, but there was a short break when there was pandemic since 2020. And on the 22nd of October 2022, finally, the 54th conference was held. And it's a great luck. It was very interesting. I also was there and I spoke there. So, this is a non-governmental organization. So, as you can see from what I have told you, it gathers people from all Russia who know something, who study something interesting. So, the UFO as well. I met one man, actually the president of the Association Ecology of the Unknown. As I have a relation to space, I train cosmonauts, we became friends, and he told me what he was doing, and I was very interested because in my life, I also had an experience when there were three people in the night coming to me through the wall, And I couldn't explain that at that moment. I was paralyzed in the blue light. So later when I began to look into this phenomenon, I understood that maybe it was one of the cases where the extraterrestrials come and you become paralyzed with the light and they do something to you. One of the members of the association, who is also a member of one of the biggest research groups in Russia as well, named Kosmopoisk, they retrieved some objects, and to my knowledge, they even tried to build a time machine.
A time machine?
Yes.
Can you explain a little?
I don't know much in details, but they built a sphere, some kind of a sphere, and they studied some electromagnetic impact on human placed inside the sphere. So it was based on their knowledge about what they researched before and what they have found. But they tried to build a time machine, and to my knowledge, they didn't succeed. To use some technology, you have to be at a certain level of your consciousness. So at the seventh certain level of your ethics. For example, everybody can buy an X, for example, an X in a store, and you can figure out how to use the X to chop trees. If you never saw one, when you see it, you can understand there's a sharp blade, and you can, if you hit hard, you can chop some tree or whatever. But when you find some things from other worlds, to understand how it works, you have to be on a different level. Because by just inspecting the parts, which is it is composed of, just examining what is inside, outside, and trying to figure out how it works, it's not sufficient to turn it on. Because maybe this craft, they operate like living beings. Like in the movie Avatar, you have to connect with it to turn it on or to operate. This is how they work. We cannot understand them, and until we reach some level of our consciousness that we can look at it from a very different angle that we cannot imagine now. We cannot imagine. We only see some solid object, some parts, but the connection between and how it works, it's just out of our mind, out of our consciousness. And this is sort of a pass that you can get to use this technology, because it's like a safety measure to for this technology to be
to stop
able,
stop
able
a
to
child,
be used
prevent
yeah,
a child if, from driving it, basically.
Yeah, because what we think of when we get some new technology in the first place, how to use this in war, military application. But imagine a piano. There is a keyboard, and you could play notes starting from the lowest one up to the highest one. That's the notes you can play, and usually 99% of the cases, these notes are enough for each person in the world to compose any music he likes or she likes. So this keyboard is, I imagine that this is our physical body. But the sounds and the notes are not limited to the keyboard. There are notes with higher pitches than you can play on piano and lower pitches. And this goes like forever from the minus infinity to the plus infinity, the notes you can play.
Mm.
And all these notes, which are beyond the keyboard, are not spiritual, they are physical. They exist, but you cannot play them with your fingers. But you can hear them with your ear. You can invent a different instrument to play, and you can hear the highest and the lowest notes as well. So this, which is beyond the keyboard, let's say that's our consciousness. But if we are concentrated only on playing the keyboard, we can then learn to play piano. But we can also draw our attention beyond. We can expand. And then we can learn how to operate other pitches. That's just an analogy. This, which is beyond keyboard, we call it spiritual. But this is physical, just a different level of vibration. So this technology involves, it demands that you know how to operate those frequencies, how to play them, and how to build harmonies, because you want to play music, and how to go beyond the keyboard. That's just another evolutionary step for us to not only concentrate on our keyboard, but expand our consciousness, as you said it earlier. So this technology involves the knowledge of how those pitches work, but they're just regular pitches for those species who have already gone there beyond this keyboard. And they have their own limits, but more than us humans. And they can play that music, and we can hear it, and we can see their craft. Because the part that I like best, when you play a note, any note, there's a fundamental frequency, and there are harmonics. So the fundamental frequency is the one that your brain perceives, like the note that you're hearing. But simultaneously, you hear all these harmonics, but they are just lower in volume, and they go on forever from the fundamental frequency. And there are also subharmonics. So this is how the spiritual is represented on the keyboard. When you play a note, you hear the fundamental frequency, your brain perceives it, but actually what sounds is the fundamental frequency and all the harmonics above it and below it. So this is how their vehicles maybe are represented in our world in 3D, as they say, but they involve all these harmonics. And if we go deep into studying this, we have to expand our consciousness first beyond the keyboard, and then we can understand how it works and what these technologies are, and then we can understand how to use them. But when we understand, we are at a different level of consciousness, and that involves ethics as a safety measure. So that's an analogy that helps us to understand what is spiritual, what is physical. Actually, there is no boundary between that. What is spiritual for us may be physical for some other people or species or extraterrestrials. I believe that you can do whatever you want and whatever you can, but there is one thing which can hinder everything that you do, or it can help everything. And this thing is ego. The ego which lives inside humans, that's something really alien to humans, we believe. And why do I say this? I'm not the first to say it. There is a cohort of Russian scientists, we call them cosmists, which said that a century ago, that to explore space, the outer space, humanity will first have to become one being. It will first have to transmit from divide and conquer to cooperation by eliminating the ego. Because the ego lives at the expense of struggle. If there is struggle, rivalry, competition, it will always ruin everything you do. Because space exploration, okay, who will be the first? Maybe we need some weapons to secure our assets in space. Who will first go to moon? Let's try to blow an atomic bomb there and see what happens, and so on. But the exploration of space is a good thing, and the technology to travel through space is a great thing. If you really go there with a peaceful purpose, with something that strengthens life, not destroys it. And from this point of view, whatever you do, it will work for the good, for the benefit of humanity, for the higher good. And if there is some your ego thoughts, some competition, it will always ruin everything. Because, well, it's divide and conquer. When we're divided, we're weaker. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Here in Russia, we have some methods, and we are already working in this direction, and Association Ecology of the Unknown as well. We have developed a science that we called psychoenergetics, and it is closely connected with what Russian cosmists said, because they studied the methods of direct communication between a living body and the surrounding environment. So communication through resonance, through the levels of vibrations. Maybe I'm not speaking correctly because of a lack of terms in English.
I understand. No, you're speaking correctly.
So
you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job, Timofey.
Thank you. So this psychoenergetics, why it is called so? Because our human psyche, it also works very similar, like electricity. There are fields generated by our brain, and the human body generates fields. Each organ of the body has its own frequency of vibrations, and in the training of cosmonauts in building rockets, they also take into account, because when the booster goes up, there are vibrations, hard vibrations with low frequencies. And if it comes with resonance with some organs, internal organs of your body, they may go in resonance and they may tear apart. So they studied it very carefully, and each organ of the body has its own level of vibration is really physical, and that generates different fields around the body. And we communicate with the surrounding world through these vibrations, and through not only these vibrations that are known today in the current scientific paradigm, but some higher vibrations which are associated with consciousness, telepathy, and non-local communication. So when you're very, 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 very far away, and you can instantly get information. And there were many experiments in Russia as well, of course, with military purpose mm-hmm. as well, but in peaceful purposes also. So the psychoenergetics studies these communications and this cause and effect relations. And it goes beyond that to study how emotions of humans affect the body, affect the surrounding world, and the events that are happening with a human. And we have found that this relation is very strong. Really, our human body is the manifestation of our emotions. Because as they say, humans are born in love. And because of love, it is so. When there is this first cell, and I didn't remember who did this experiment, but they shot a laser through the DNA, and they saw a hologram of a cell, of a future cell. So this sounds like science fiction today, but it is true that our body is a manifested emotion, and what you think, what you do, everything is taken into account, and nothing is random. So the psychoenergetics gives you this knowledge to transform this the ego that is inside, because we treat it like a virus, because it behaves like a virus. It is transmitted to next generations. It can evolve. It can multiply itself through its qualities, through the emotions that it makes you feel. Like you think that this is you feeling this hatred or maybe envy, all these emotions that we call negative. Of course, they influence you in a negative way. But this is ego producing it, with you not knowing it or not paying attention. If you know about this, you can find methods and techniques to see this and to change the situation, to consciously transform this when you have this feeling of feeling aggression or hatred or you name it. You can turn it, flip the coin, and take this energy and put it in a peaceful and in a more efficient way. Otherwise, it will feed this ego, which ruins everything by taking your energy. And this is a global situation. We believe that humanity is very sick with this ego, with this virus of ego. That's how we treat it. And this new science, which we call psychoenergetics, gives you ways and methods how to transform it, how to get out of this evolutionary dead end. This system which you described, this media which constantly repeats it over and over, this hypnotic suggestion, mm-hmm. it's a It's the system of ego. It's the ego system, which really drains your vital energy, the energy of your emotions. And this is the most tasty energy for them, for the ego. And it is built so to get this energy from humanity, because it's like a parasite in the body of humanity. The ego is the parasite. You live in this virtual reality, really. You have the potential, your body, you have the potential, enormous potential, to evolve, to use these powers that human body has, as I said, telepathy, anything, non-local communication, this new technologies that we can make. But it's like already it boils down to this ego and this reality of matrix. When you're sleeping, you're really sleeping, and you think that you leave and you see things, you go to your job, and this is how it gives you the sensation of life, but really you're sleeping. But if you're awake, let's say, if we continue this analogy, if you and have you seen the movie Matrix? Yeah.
Oh, of course. It's one of my favorite films of all time. I love The Matrix.
Yeah. And if you're awake, then you can consciously go into the Matrix to talk with people and maybe to get them out of the sleep, like they did with Neo. They suggested you take the red pill or the blue pill. Nobody forces you. You want to know the truth. You may not like it, but yeah, I want. So that's how they take them out of the sleep. And the real world was really the world of machines, which conquered humanity and put them into sleep. But they cannot live without humans' energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they take the energy out of the humans. They cannot destroy humanity because they need it as an energy source. They cannot destroy. They wouldn't want to destroy. But over time, they put them in the situation, this ego system, the world of machines and metrics. They put them in the situation when energy is so low, if it goes down more, it may collapse, and the earth can collapse, and because of wars, because of this very, very hot competition, which is gone to the extent of war, of self-destruction. It's the highest, the most powerful competition is the war, when you destroy. And even if you destroy physically, they wouldn't want that, because then they will lose their reality with humanity. And this is the situation we are in. And some of us are awake, like Neo and his team and Morpheus, if we continue the analogy with Matrix. And the reality is not so good, but we have the opportunity to change it. But people need to take the red pill. You cannot just unplug and put them into reality, because they have to take this decision. The very thought that we are alone in the universe is the... it's a very good good example of manifestation of self-centeredness. In the whole universe, one living race is humanity. Really? This is the example of living in a matrix, in a virtual reality, stuck in it. And don't even want to see or know anything. Back in the day, submarines were out of scientific paradigms. Flying jets or smartphones were a miracle if you go 200 years back, for example. Now it's just an everyday routine. Searching on your smartphone, you have all the information in the world. So connecting with the, and seeing movies and everything is in your hand. So those UFOs, which we see, really, I agree with you. These are red pills given to us by extraterrestrials, by those people who are more wiser than us. But they also cannot force us. They only give us the red pill. And if we take it, then we awake to the reality that we have. Then we realize, oh my God, what we did to our planet. We have to purify the oceans. We have to grow forests. We have to keep the living species so they do not disappear. We have to treat each other with love, respect. Why do we fight? Why? What for? We have to explore space. And there are people, many people out there. And that's the evidence. These UFOs, these sightings, these experiences, the stories that contactees tell, those people who saw extraterrestrials, really, and who saw flying saucers. You cannot just get rid of this, I don't want to know it. Well, you can by taking the blue pill, but those people, once again, they cannot force us. They only give us hints. They only give us warnings. Maybe they can adjust something that we maybe. Well, there were cases where manufacturers of nukes, and they came and they fixed it, but they cannot just land on your yard just for you to know that they are real. Well, you will not believe even if they land, because you think you hallucinate or anything. So yeah, I agree with this analogy, and I think we have to pay more attention to this, because this is the real evidence that we're not alone. And if we're not alone, we must look at ourselves and see, do we behave? Do we stick to the laws, universal, like other people? Maybe we have to fix what we did or what we're doing, fix the planet, and then make friends with our brothers in consciousness. We live in an informational field. The Russian cosmists of the past called it noosphere. Noosphere is this informational field which is generated by humanity, only by humanity. And all the information in the world is stored there. And you can get an instant access to this field. And in some writings, they call it Akashi.
The Akashic Records.
Yeah. The Akashic Records.
Drawing inspiration from the ether, intuition.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
So, by tapping into this source, you can get information and knowledge, but not in a way that we're used to. Like you come into a liquor store, you pay money, and you get what you want. Not in this way. In a way that the higher powers will give you this knowledge if you're true and pure in your intentions and your level of ethics is at a certain level. Like you, as you said in the very beginning, you cannot use what does not belong to you. And the extraterrestrials know it. When you're a certain level, you can just know it, like a download or like a realization that it is so. it works so, and you see the manifestations of it in your life. And if you study it in a more scientific way, you can find the explanation to this through this new scientific paradigm of the connection of the so-called spiritual with physical. It's like one infinite being, but you can concentrate only on something particular because you're in a physical body.
Yeah.
You can see something particular, you can hear. This gives you the ability to be in the right place in the right time and do the right thing.
What are your thoughts on the original Apollo 11 mission when the astronauts Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong and Michael Collins returned from the moon? They had a conference. I don't know if you saw this conference where the media was asking questions, and the astronauts seemed to be very uncomfortable, very quiet. They didn't seem to be very happy. Just your opinion, why do you think they were acting so strangely once they came back from the Apollo 11 mission?
Well, there are several theories in Russia about Americans going to the moon, maybe conspiracy theories. But there is one great research and study of a man who worked 20 years in the most recognized Soviet and Russian movie making institution. He was, I don't know how to say it in English, but he was in charge of putting the scene together and filming it. He analyzed all the footage, all the footages from the allegedly moon footages of American astronauts on the moon, and from the perspective of the cinematographer. And it is an interesting lecture for about 6 hours. He also analyzes how those astronauts behaved at the press conference, how they felt when they came out of the airplane, just being put out, allegedly, of the spacecraft and presented to the audience, and how Soviet cosmonauts looked like when they were for 5 days in space. So he compared all this, and in a very interesting and proving way, he showed that the footage was filmed by Stanley Kubrick, who was famous at that day, the director, Stanley Kubrick, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, of course.
So, and
of course,
in his movie Shining, he puts some hints of the fact that he filmed that footage, and he also analyzes this movie when the boy has the sweater and there's rocket and the number 11, some little details by which Stanley Kubrick said that he was filming it, but he couldn't say about it publicly. So this interesting documentary, which lasts for 6 hours, makes you realize that the footage was filmed and how it was filmed. And then this man reproduces this scene in his own studio, and that maybe they really have gone to space and they have gone to the moon, but what they saw there and what they filmed there never got public. And to have a good image in the front of American public and at the background of the space rivalry, which was at that time, because Soviet Union was first to go into space, Yuri Gagarin, and Americans had to be first to go to the moon. But maybe for some reason they failed, or they didn't make it all the way. They had to make this film and to present it like they were there. And that's why the astronauts look kind of sad, and they don't really want to answer questions, or they were intimidated. If they would answer anything, they would be in danger. So this is one of the theory which is there in Russia.